Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Call his wife in.
How we doing? 404. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got you for one more hour until the warm-up show comes your way at 5. Fleegs on the other side taking your calls at 888-808-1019. And we started with the football as we were watching Monday Night Football doubleheader last night. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks go down the field late to take care of the Houston Texans and the LA Chargers make it a statement with back-to-back wins to start the year, take care of the Raiders rather easily, and Herbert playing extremely well. And it made me realize that we have two terrible football teams. That's what it took. I wasn't sure until I watched one. I was pretty sure before then. But we spent a lot of time talking about these two coaches. You just heard Aaron Glenn again in the update. And for me, these two coaches already, I know it's week two, or now the third game of the beginning of this new tenure with the New York Jets. I get it. And he's certainly not going anywhere. He's going to be here for a while. But this culture coach, this guy who's supposed to be, you know, building this winning culture, it's about accountability. Well, he cut a player and they responded not in kind. And to have that week one performance followed by self-admittingly not having the team ready to play against Buffalo. They're going to head into Tampa Bay for a week three. They're probably going to be without their quarterback, and he's got to find a way to get this team ready to play, because as we talk about a lot, like, you could talk about building a new culture. You could talk about accountability. When you are hired as the coach who's supposed to, you know, he's not designing some new exotic defense. He's not coming in as an offensive guru. He's not Ben Johnson taking over the Bears and you're looking to have this new innovative offense. He's coming in as a culture builder. He's coming in to wipe clean the all gas, no break nonsense that went on the previous regime and get rid of the penalties and change how they play football. And last week looked exactly like how the Jets play football. And new culture and winning culture and all that stuff only sticks with these players if they see the results. And now they're going in to play a game against the Tampa Bucks on Sunday, who they're now 2-0. And Baker Mayfield's playing his ass off. This is going to be a tough game for the New York Jets without their quarterback. But then we turn to the real coach under fire in Brian Daboll. And yes, the offense performed real well. And yes, they threw for 450 yards, and Russell Wilson played one of the best games of his career, let alone, you know, made us feel like he wasn't washed. He played as well as he's ever played at any point in his Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame career. and they scored 37 points, and yet they still lost. And if you saw the reports on how the locker room handled it after the game, and now Dexter Lawrence is kind of talking to the media and talking about how disappointed he is, that's a loss this Giant team hasn't had. With all the excitement, all the enthusiasm, everything that was, you know, brought with this new regime, with, you know, the new quarterback and everything that's changed, and the way they played in the preseason, and the leadership that they kept talking about with Russell Wilson and all the expectations and how things were going to be different this year, and they come out and they finally perform. They have that miserable week one. They follow it up with a great offensive performance. They score 37 points. They put it in the end zone with 25 seconds left, and they still find a way to lose. And they're welcoming in the three-time defending AFC champions, the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid combo that has dominated the NFL and now staring 0-3 in the face for the first time in their career. This is the first time he's ever been 0-2, let alone 0-3. And you cannot allow what happened to the Jets to happen to you. You have got to build on it. You have got to find a way to get this group that was completely demoralized. Because we could talk about having the season over in October and having the season over before Halloween. And I talk about it a lot and how frustrating it's been. And now, what is it, 10 out of the last 13 years that they're 0-2 to start the year. And it's the same crap from this New York Giant team, whether it's Dable or anybody else over the last decade. Season's over before Halloween, before October are very common. And we can talk about it. We can project it. But these guys got to go out there and still have an 18-week season. And we're talking about whether or not this coach is on the hot seat and what he needs to do. And there's a million different things, right? Well, he can win some games. Oh, he can show us some offense. Oh, he can develop the young quarterback. The one thing he can't do is lose the team. That's the one thing he can't do. And off of that performance, to head home for the first time this year, off of that loss and in the manner in which that loss went down, getting beat by the 64-yard field goal, your defense playing the way it did the last 25 seconds, you know, the turnover and overtime, the whole bit. Against a bitter rival that has owned you for forever, to go into that building and put that kind of performance up and still lose, and to know you're coming home to take on the Chiefs at 0-2, desperate for victory. They have got to show a way. I don't know about winning the football game. That seems like far-fetched. But they've got to find a way to get this team up, back up off the deck, and build on last week. Because whether or not there's such a thing as moral victories, obviously there isn't in the NFL, but there is a process. There is building blocks. And as ugly as it was, and as much as it doesn't matter, and it's 0-2, and blah, 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 and everything we've said over the last 24 hours to 48 hours is all true, but it doesn't change the fact that this is a football team trying to establish something. And if they don't gather anything from that offensive performance, if they show up and lay a dud and get beat 31-6 and show nothing offensively again, where do they go from there? To Jackson Dart. And then none of this matters. And then all that matters is how the quarterback plays. And it doesn't matter that the defensive coordinator sucks. And it doesn't, all it matters, hey, you know what? Let the defense sucks. It'll give just more possessions to Jackson Dart. They've got to find a way. This coach has got to find a way. It's a big week for both these coaches early on in the season, especially Brian Dable, who's clearly on the hot seat right now with an owner who's fed up, a fan base that's disgusted, and a team that felt dejected. I mean, the way they were reporting about Connor Hughes was like, it was a morgue in there. They've gotten their ass kicked. They understand what it's like to play out a dead season. They've never had that kind of performance and then still lost. Like, that is a bitter pill to swallow, and the coach has got to figure out a way to bounce back from it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
Always.
Thank you,
buddy. So listen, I think that, you know, the Giants, in general, I mean, and you look at the teams.
Hey, yeah. Mario, I'm really sorry, buddy. I'm going to put you on hold, see if we can get you a better line. You're beeping and bopping all over the place. Just couldn't get it done. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Mario, sound like he's drowning.
Yeah, it was a little bit under the water there, yep.
All right, Chris, here we go. Okay, let me ask you some questions on the defense.
Sure.
You know, you know, when you watch the Giant defense, I watched a few things, and you don't see any stunting. Do you ever feel that, you know how some teams that are well-coached, the defense knows what the play's going to be? And you could see it on the field?
I mean, I guess there are scenarios where that happens, sure.
You've never seen that, how a defense already knows what play's calling and they already got the advance on it? What I would really do is, this is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the best two athletes, which is Burns and Carter, and make them off-the-line linebackers and get your four biggest guys, because they got to the quarterback with a couple other defensive tackles. They need some bigger guys in there. And let Burns and Carter roam the area, and if they need to get to the quarterback and blitz or whatever, let them do what they want to do. But you need something in that mid-range electrifying, and they don't have that.
I don't know. Abdul Carter is someone who can play several different positions, or at least has been, and we'll see where he goes from there. But I don't want to take Burns off the edge rush. I mean, that's pretty much what he does. I'm not. Here's the bottom line. Because we could talk about the defensive game plan and Bowen overall, and he's done a lousy job, no doubt about it. And the way he handled the last 25 seconds of regulation playing that far off the ball was a disaster. I think the Giants could have executed better. I don't think they played it well, but a lot of players didn't play well in the game defensively, including Abdul Carter, including Dexter Lawrence. But yeah, I didn't like any of that. But the bottom line is, this is supposed to be an elite pass rush. And I know it's 2 weeks into Abdul Carter's career. And Burns has played relatively well. And even Thibodeau got after it a little bit in the game against Dallas. So they're really missing the great Dexter Lawrence, and he hasn't shown up the first 2 weeks. And I know he's coming off injury, and then he had a child. So like, he's played well for long enough where I'm going to give him an excuse, and I expect him to be a dominant force moving forward. Not a great first 2 weeks, but I have every confidence that will change, if not this week, next week, and if not next week, the week after that. Like, I expect it from Dexter Lawrence. But the bottom line is these four guys are literally a top six pick, a six pick, a third pick. Burns got paid a hell of a lot of money, and Dexter Lawrence was a 15th overall pick and has been the best interior, arguably the best interior lineman in the sport. Like, that's, and certainly the best pass rusher from that position. I mean, that's got to be a force. We talk about it. They have a chance to have an elite unit, an elite pass rushing unit. They have not been elite. And they were rushing four guys in those final 25 seconds on that second down play where they got the big chunk down the middle to the tight end, and there was no pressure on Dak. They've got to do a better job. Part of this defense, and I'm sure what their game plan is to be able to get home with four so they can do other things. The benefit of not needing to blitz to create pressure on the quarterback is immense, and that's how this defense is supposed to be built, and over the first 2 weeks, we have not seen that. So it's Bowen, absolutely. It's some of these guys not playing their best, too. And they've got skill positions, and they went out and paid money. This defense, they invested money, they invested draft picks. This defense has got to be better. There's no doubt about it. Let's try Mario in Long Beach one more time. Mario, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Much better, Mario. What's going on?
Great, great. How you doing? Great show, as
good.
Always.
Well, thank you.
You know, a little bit, you know, I was just thinking a little bit about why aren't teams successful like the Giants and Jets. It's really drafting, you know? If you look back, let's look at the Giants, you know?
Yeah.
If you look back a little ways, it started with this guy Galladay. Remember him? He was a receiver.
Well, that wasn't
right?
a draft pick. They signed him in free agency. He was with the Lions.
Yeah, no, free agent. No, I'm talking about just personnel moves, whether it's draft picks or okay. who you pick up and all that other
yes,
stuff.
Yes, Galladay was so a they disaster.
They gave him a $72 million contract, $36 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now, to me, he had hamstring problems. To me, you never sign somebody who has injury problems, especially soft tissue, because usually it comes back and it haunts you. And that's what happened. He gave him nothing. Would you agree? He gave him nothing. Oh, no, but that was money completely
would
wasted.
Would I agree?
Right?
No, I think he was great. He was a disaster. He's one of the biggest disasters. Like, Nate Solder him. Like, there's a ton of, yes, absolutely, disaster.
And that, now you go for a second guy who had the same problem with hamstrings. They do the same damn thing. That tight end, what was he? Darren Waller, remember him?
Yeah,
same thing.
Right.
Hamstring
okay.
guy. So why would you do that? You know the guy's got hamstring problems. This is not smart, you know, really.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Jets did the same thing with Corey Davis, so they're not out of the woods for this either. Remember Corey Davis? For the Jets, same thing.
I get you, but what's the point? That guy shouldn't sign injury people. But what about this team right now? Because Waller's not on it. Kenny Golladay was a million years ago, or might as well have been. Like Dave Gettleman signed that contract. Like, what about like right now?
Oh well, right now, I really think that they're okay. But I think, like you said, the pass rush has to be a little bit better.
Yeah,
and you know, like you said, Burns got a lot of money. So,
Burns
I mean,
got a
he
lot
made
of money.
$28 million.
Burns got a lot of money. They it's two top draft picks. But to your point about the draft, obviously the draft is the lifeblood of an organization. You have to draft right. And I think Joe Shane has had really two good drafts. Now, we'll find out. Maybe Abdul Carter becomes a bust. I hope not. I don't expect it. It's two games in. But it's too early to determine this draft. Last year's draft, I thought, was pretty good. You know, Newbin and Phillips turned out to be really good picks. Obviously, Malik Nabers is a stud wide receiver. His first two drafts are bad, and it's hurting the team, and namely Evan Neal. You can't miss. You can't miss with a seventh round pick to that level. You can't miss with a pick that high. You can't miss with a top 10 pick to the level of him being a healthy scratch in year three or whatever this is now, year three, right? He can't be a healthy scratch year three, your top 10 pick. Can't. That kills a franchise. That's why I always laugh when they say, oh, you draft the wrong quarterback, it kills the franchise. You draft anyone wrong in the top 10, it hurts you. You draft an offensive lineman who can't play, that hurts you. You draft an edge rusher in Thibodeau who's a good player, who's a serviceable player, but has not played to the level of a top 10 pick, that hurts you. You draft a wide receiver in Jalen Hyatt in the third round, and you don't play him, like, ever. That's a problem. That hurts. That hurts. You draft offensive linemen in the third round as Evan Neal is struggling and everyone else is struggling, and he can't see the field. Like, draft picks are killers. If you whiff on draft picks in the top three rounds, it hurts your team. That's where championships are won. Second to fifth round picks are where you win championships. First round picks are supposed to be given. Banks has been, you can't draft a quarterback who sucks. Like, can't do it. Can't do it. So their first two drafts were littered with big whiffs. And that's been the main problem, like, with the construction of the roster. You can't take a top 10 offensive lineman who you literally are not playing. He's healthy and you're not playing. That hard to function as an organization when you make that level of a mistake. So they've got to find it. They were given another opportunity. We'll see if they're given another one after this. And listen, the offensive line played much better. That's a positive thing. They played well enough to allow Russell Wilson to have a career day. He was great. He made every big throw down the field. Like, when was the last time we saw that? Big plays like that over and over again, consistently. Down 4 points with less than a minute, throwing a 50-yard bomb to a double-covered receiver and dropped it in the bucket. Like, when's the, like, that was incredible. And once they took friggin' Hudson out of there, the guy lost his mind, and they put in Bo at left tackle, the offensive line played great. Now, again, no pass rush from Dallas. We get it. They traded away Micah Parsons. They don't have much of an edge rush or a pass rush. And, you know, we'll find out how the offensive line looks moving forward. And I still suspect there will be days where they don't give the quarterback, whoever it may be, a good chance to function, because that's the offensive line. And hopefully Andrew Thomas has a chance to play this week. But it blocked great. The offense moved the ball. Good play calling, even the nonsense where they brought in Jackson Dart, it set up a good run play. They should have only done it once, but it threw Dallas off just enough to set up Scatterboo for the best run of the day. Like, a lot of positives out of the offense, a lot. But the defense just was inept in the second half, inept. And then that the way they the style of football they played in the last 25 seconds is killer. And then in overtime, Russ made the two fatal mistakes. But again, it's up to this coach. You want it, we keep looking for reasons to believe in the guy or reasons to fire the guy, right? It's one or the other. Depend on, and many of us have already made up our minds on some level. Certainly the people who hate him have already made up their minds and they're looking for reasons to fire him. Here's another reason. How does he get this team to respond? You want to talk about the responsibilities of a head coach? He's got to find a way to get this team off the deck because it feels like they're feeling sorry for themselves. It feels like for an organization that hasn't won in forever, now it's 10 out of 13 years that they start 0-2. They went into Dallas, a building that has been a house of horrors for them against the team that they have lost to how many consecutive freaking times against a quarterback that has beaten them 14 straight. They went in there and played really well and still lost. And now he's got to get them off the deck and have that be a building moment and not the end of their season. And it comes against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football while they're 0-3, desperate for a win.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's going to be interesting.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go to escape the losing. Jets head to Tampa. Giants welcome in the Chiefs 0-2. Is it ever going to end? Yankees drop one to the lousy Twins, who they've owned historically. They better win the next two. And the Mets start a series tonight against the San Diego Padres. They have three against San Diego, three against Washington, then go on the road to end the season, three against the Cubs, three in Miami. Tonight is the former Yankee battle between Michael King and Clay Holmes. Manaea is going to piggyback him after being shifted to the bullpen, but right now they are one game up, or one and a half games up, in the wild card race. And they've got to find a way to get in. I mean, that it can't happen. It can't happen, right? Because they're just not good enough. They're two games up in the loss column over Arizona, San Francisco, and Cincinnati, who won last night. They have the tiebreaker. I think that's it. I think everybody else, the Mets would have the tiebreaker over. Two games up in the loss. Is it with Arizona? I know they have it over the Giants. I'm thinking about Arizona.
Just the Giants.
Just the Giants.
They split with Arizona, so it goes to the interdivision record after that.
And they have a worse interdivision record than Arizona does?
Well, so they're both obviously not done. If, based on the schedules, if the Diamondbacks are going to catch the Mets,
they would have to
it's probably going to come with enough division wins and Mets division losses.
Right. Gotcha. Two games up as it begins. Yankees a game up over Boston for that final wild, that top wild card spot, and our two football teams desperate for victories in tough spots to get them. 888-808-1019. I do want to be sedated. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
What? Did they do that song again by John Lennon on Yesterday and Today, the second track off the album, Behind Drive My Car? I'm only sleeping.
See, to me, I know I'm only sleeping from Revolver, but...
Yeah, but it was on Yesterday and Today.
I got it. We've had this discussion about it, but yes, they were...
That's the UK album.
They were sleeping through last night. There's no doubt about it, they were.
Yeah, but you're right about one thing. Why in God's planet did they have to go to Minnesota after playing a Sunday night game in Boston?
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? Okay, you remember I told you about...
I mean, they weren't sitting next to any crying babies. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's a
flight. I mean, I have a tough... Look, again, I do think it's unfair. I do think they should have had it scheduled better. It does stink for the Yankees. Again, we saw it right before the Friday night game against Toronto. They're playing their asses off in Houston, and Toronto's waiting for them in New York with a day off. Not fair. Not fair.
No, it's not fair.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Remember I told you about the
Rocket Ship? I gotta overcome it.
Remember I told you about the rocket ship I had going to the planet? We include one more person. The commissioner. Get him out of here. He's a terrible commissioner. The only thing I liked that he ever did was the pitch clock. That's it. The rest of it, take him and get him out of here. And, oh, I know the owner's this, the owner's that. You know what the owners can do? They could leave also. Get him out of here. All these guys are still sick, money hungry.
Who else can we get? We got the commissioner and the owner's gone. I like it. Look, I mean, I don't know why we could bring in the commissioner. I understand the travel sucked. I think it had more to do with ESPN changing and deciding what game they wanted on Sunday, and they chose Yankees-Red Sox.
The commissioner kind of allows all those TV deals
true.
To exist as
I mean,
they are.
They are. I get you. He allows ESPN to have that power. I get it. But most, you know, I mean, no one's complaining about the NFL and their ability to make late decisions on who plays and big primetime games based on records and stuff. Like, it is what it is. It's not a conversation for the owner or the. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this commissioner in a couple of years when they go on strike. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it then. Robbie in Phoenix. What's up, Robbie?
More than that, I like to talk about the Jets and the Yankees real quick.
Sure.
I'm a diehard Jets fan. I hope we don't have another Rich Kotite. I'm getting nervous. Why do the Jets hire a guy with no experience? They just keep doing it and doing it. I pray Aaron Glenn is not another Rich Kotite. I'm really nervous about that because those were horrible days. Trust me.
No, listen, you don't have to go back that far. You hope he's not an Adam Gase. You hope he's not a
And at my Yankee
Todd
point,
Bowles.
There's no reason to see Volpe. There's no reason to see Volpe play that.
Yeah, I'm. Your phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't disagree with you. To me, Caballero is now the starting shortstop of the Yankees. He did have a bad night, though. And I just don't think they're going to completely abandon Volpe. I do think that Caballero is going to get most of the playing time. But I do think you're going to see Anthony Volpe here or there. And I heard Keith say this. I'm thinking the same thing. I would not be surprised. In fact, I expect Anthony Volpe to be in the lineup tonight. I would not be surprised. Yesterday he was healthy. They chose not to play him for Caballero. Caballero, yes, he had a double, but he made two misplays in the field, and he got picked off second base. And I just think they're gonna want to throw Volpe in the mix. I still think Caballero is the starter. I still think game one wild card Caballero will be at shortstop, but I don't think they're done playing Anthony Volpe. You're going to see him from time to time. I'm not sure why. Brett in Long Island. What do you want to talk about, Brett?
Prayers for Charlie Kirk's wife and kids. Chris, it's time for you to finally step up and apologize to me right now, and we'll move forward. You got to step up, man. You're always criticizing me and hanging up and saying, how about a take of your own? The biggest take of my own was that the Giants
won the organization.
That is true.
You do have one take that Daniel Jones is good.
And I also had these other takes. Malik Nabers a week ago was a bad look. He looked like he was pouting. He was yelling, stomping his feet. And this weekend, we had 21 penalties. That is the most undisciplined team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I told you, you watch it. He's losing the team, and you hung up on me, Chris.
They scored 37 points. He had 9 catches, 160 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, there you go. Changing the narrative.
You said he lost the team. His offense had a great day.
So you're okay with 21
penalties?
I'm not okay with it,
but there's a fine. That doesn't mean he lost the team, because I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it. That doesn't mean he lost the team.
Well, I win too, but here's another take, a hard take. Mm-hmm. Giants are beating the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, okay? How's
there you
that?
Go.
There's my take.
Well,
If
I were to say to you, the Giants are a mess, they're undisciplined, they lost the coach, and then they're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, you'd be like, oh my God, Chris, you're flip-flopping all over the place. What the hell are you talking about, Brett? You just have the coach losing the team, it's a disaster, and now they're going to go beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Explain yourself.
Because the Chiefs don't look like the Chiefs. You and me watched that whole game. Not together. I mean, that wouldn't happen, right?
That would
and
not
we
happen.
We watched that game. And I don't know. The Chiefs don't look the same. They're missing Worthy, fastest guy
they
in the
lost,
NFL.
They
guy Rasheed Rice.
Yeah.
They just don't look the same. The
I
only
agree.
Thing I'm worried about is Chris Jones and the D-line. But the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs. So the Giants are going to make them put them out of their misery. Watch, 0-3. But then who knows? I may play the Eagles. I'm just saying this week. But, Chris, one last thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, you know, you're going to be who you're going to be, and you're not going to ever apologize, and I got you, because everybody in your online social media said you better call him. Hold on, let me finish.
Well, of course they did, yeah.
They said you better call him and tell him, because we heard him for the last 5 years, everybody hanging up on you, and that's fine, Chris, you don't have to give me my flowers, but this is what I'm saying. When McKinney left the Giants, he had 8 picks, okay? When Buckley left the Giants, he won a Super Bowl and had his career-high rushing yards.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones left. I know it's 2 games, I'll
it
say
is.
It before you do.
It's 2 games.
And he had the almost 300 pick play. But, Chris, do you see that the Giants are not good? It's the Giants.
Do I see
Chris.
That the Giants are not good? Of course, Brett. Like, when did I – this is the misconception. I never said – again, I don't know how many times we got to go over this. I never said the Giants weren't at fault. The owner came out and said they were at fault. The offensive line's never been good. His wide receivers were never that talented. And his coaches, they gave him Joe Judge as a coach. I never once said Daniel Jones is just terrible and the Giants have nothing to do with it. Never once. I don't think Daniel Jones is that good a quarterback, because I think great quarterbacks overcome it slightly more than Daniel Jones was able to overcome it. Bottom line, that's how I feel. I still feel that way. I don't think he's very good. He's had 2 games. Him and Steichen have found something. He's an offensive coach. He found it with Hurts as well. Like, he's a good offensive coach. It's been a good click for the first 2 games. They haven't punted. He's done a great job. They won 2 games. They got lucky in winning the game that they actually won. I thought Steichen did a terrible job playing for that long field goal. They got lucky they made it. After they got lucky, there was a penalty because they lost that game. There was a bad penalty, and they got another try at the kick. But even if they would have lost, he played well. Not saying he didn't. It's a couple of games. It's a couple of games. I have no problem. If Daniel Jones turns out to be a very good quarterback in this league and leads them to 10, 12 wins and takes them to the playoffs, I will apologize, or I will at least admit that Daniel Jones is better than I thought he was. I have no problem doing that. It's 2 weeks. I wish him well. I hope I get to say that, because Daniel Jones stood in there and got his ass kicked and kept coming back for more. He's a tough son of a gun, and he did his absolute best. He took the Giants to the playoffs and won a road playoff game. I have no ill will towards Daniel Jones, other than I was tired of constantly having the conversation about, is it him, is it the line? Is it him, is it the line? And let me ask you a question. If the offensive line is so bad and it's the Giants, how come Russell Wilson was able to throw for 450 yards? How come Russell Wilson was able to go down the field, unlike Daniel Jones, in any game ever? He played better. Not only did he play better than Daniel Jones has at any point this year in his two really good games, but Russell Wilson played better and had a better game than Daniel Jones ever had as a New York Giant. As far as putting up points and throwing the ball down the field and throwing touchdown pass, like, he was great. How come he was able to do that and Daniel Jones never was able to do that? Daniel Jones is a good dude, and I wish him well, and maybe he's got a chance to be better than I thought he was. But I never said it was all him and the Giants weren't at fault, ever. How could you? All I've said is great quarterbacks find a way to overcome. Joe Burrow, who again, I mean, the guy can't stay healthy. He's going to have the surgery on the toe. He's out for 3 months. Brutal. The dude just can't stay healthy. But he manages to win, and his offensive line sucks. He got sacked 9 times in a playoff game and won the playoff game. Like, there are quarterbacks, if you're good enough to lead a franchise to a consistent winner and be a Super Bowl-level quarterback, you can overcome what the Giants gave Daniel Jones. You can. It is possible. He wasn't good enough to overcome the lousy Giants, and they did him a disservice, no doubt. But this was never going to happen here. It was over for Daniel Jones. I wish him well. And I think by the end of the season, either A, unfortunately, he's going to prove to be someone like Joe Burrow who can't stay healthy, and I wish him well, and I hope that's not the case, or he's not going to play well and struggle throughout the rest of the year. That's probably what's going to happen. But maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am. 888-808-1019, and you can call and gloat all you want. I have no problem with that. That's fine. And you can send it to all your 11 social media groups.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue. Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
4:48. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Just another few minutes as we take it to 5 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to the calls as quickly as we can. I only got you for another few. So, obviously, a lot of football today as we're still trying to figure out what the hell happened on Sunday, although it's kind of obvious. The teams suck. We get ready for the playoff push as we are now just a few weeks away from the postseason. Yankees will be there. Will it be in the Bronx? Will the Mets be there at all? Congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies, who won the National League East for the second consecutive season, and to the fraud Blue Jays, who are most likely going to win the American League East. And that pains me to say. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Mr. McMonagle?
Yes, sir. How are we doing, Pat?
Yeah, I know we're rapid fire here. I tried to call
you. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I hold firm to the rapid fire. Sometimes I just let you go. I don't know. It's kind of it's a loose term.
I did put in a claim for Russell Wilson after that wild card.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's go get him.
Yeah, I want to get him. Regarding the Mets, you know, I look at the last four series, the final four series of the year. The Padres probably have something to play for. Washington Nationals, we really have to take care of business against them. Mm-hmm. The Cubs may be locked into the home wild card spot, like the first wild card, and they may not have a lot to play for. But I don't want to enter into that Miami series needing two or more games in order to win, to get into the playoffs. Miami's a nightmare for us. They always have been, and especially when they have nothing to play for and they're playing spoiler. So let's go Mets. Let's win this wild card, and who knows what happens after that.
100%, man. Get in. You never know. This team is capable. I understand it's been bad. They're, you know, one win off a 8-game losing streak, big home run from Pete Alonso on the walk-off that you desperately needed. The, you know, Stanek, who was good in the postseason for you last year, although being awful this year, did a really good job getting through the 10th. You're still trying to figure out the bullpen. The offense has sucked. The starting rotation's in complete flux. You're kind of relying on two young kids, and then God knows what. I get it. You've been terrible for, you know, dating back to June. I mean, you're 17 games under 500 since the middle of June. This has not been some sort of all of a sudden free fall. It has been a slow death over the last 3 months. Having said all of that, if they get in, they're capable. Like, the lineup is dangerous. They have Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo, all of those guys at times throughout the year have underwhelmed and underachieved. They've also been extremely dangerous. And Juan Soto's having, I know, not the same kind of impact as you would like, but he's having a great year. At any moment, he can carry a team. Pete Alonso, same thing. Lindor did it last year. Like, the lineup has a chance to be dangerous. You get into a wild card series, and, you know, you're going to face a team possibly that Sproat hasn't seen, that, McClain... that hasn't seen McClain. He throws a big-time performance. Next thing you know, you're one game away from moving to the DS, and then it's up for grabs. Get in. Get in. Get hot. That's how this works, man. We could talk till we're blue in the face about how, you know, you got to be a consistent team, and you need this and you need that. You don't. You'd like to have this and that. Who wouldn't want this and that? You want this, that, and the other. Big-time Seinfeld reference, if you're getting it. But, of course, you want to have a team with a loaded rotation. You want to have a lineup that's been consistent all year. You want a back end of the bullpen that, you know, gets swings and misses. You want to have depth at the bench. You want to play excellent defense. You want to be able to run the bases. You want to have a perfect team. That's great. You don't need one to win. You don't. And if you get in... this Met team is dangerous, and anything could happen. You have to get in. That's what the regular season is for. And it sucks on many levels, although I love playoff games. It sucks on some levels that so many teams make it because it minimizes the regular season. The regular season is not about proving you can win a World Series. It's not. That's not what the regular season is for. The regular season is not... hey, look how good we've been for as long as we've been, and we've won so many games, so we are World Series ready. It's about getting into the playoffs to give yourself a chance to win and compete for the championship. That's what the 162 are about. It is a grind. It is a everyday process. And it's about getting into the postseason and then performing when you get there. That's what it's about. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what market you're in or what team you root for, it has become cheapened with the amount of teams that play. But that doesn't change the fact that all you have to do is get in. Get in and then figure it out. Doesn't mean it's likely. Doesn't mean I'll have faith that they will, both Mets or Yankees. I get it, depending on how they play heading in or whatever. But ultimately, the 162 is about qualifying for the second round, qualifying for the playoffs. That's it. That's it. So get in. And if they do, I promise you, you are going to be excited for game one. And if they win game one, you're going to be convinced they're moving on. That's it. Go do it. Dennis on the Turnpike. What's up, Dennis?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not so bad. Hey, check it out. It just looks really bad for the Giants. Everyone who leaves has success. I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean, it's only two games, he's number two in passing yards. And, like, come on, man, he's never been number two in anything but turnovers. Like, it just looks really bad.
I get it. I mean, it's a lot of it was injuries, too. I mean, he hardly played the last couple of years. So, I mean, I get it. He's played well. Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley shouldn't even be involved in this conversation. We all knew how good Saquon Barkley was. He was great. But they put him behind the best offensive line in football. We all knew Saquon. Did we know he was going to win the championship and the Super Bowl? No.
Odell, too.
No. Sorry about that one.
Odell didn't get the ring.
Odell Beckham?
Yeah, he left and got a ring.
Yeah, but he didn't play better. His best years are with the Giants.
But still, it just sucks when you leave the team.
And then he won it like as an add-on. Like he didn't. He went to the Browns first. It was like the second team he played for. Odell's not a good example.
You're going to talk about McKinney leaves,
and he leads the NFL in interceptions. You can talk about Saquon Barkley, 2,000 yards in a Super Bowl. Julian Love, I thought, played just as well for the Giants as he did for Seattle, but he had a Pro Bowl season with Seattle. Like, some of these guys have left and found themselves in better situations, and, you know, that's part of it. Like, they signed those guys because they went to better situations. The Green Bay Packers are a better team. The Eagles have the best offensive line in football. Like,
yeah, they did.
That's why Saquon Barkley had a great year. We all knew he was going to have a good year. It was probably better than we even estimated, but, like, did anybody think when he went to the Eagles he wasn't going to be good? We all knew he was going to be good. Like, it's just, I don't think Saquon Barkley is a bad look as far as that goes. Saquon Barkley is a bad look because he went to Philadelphia and won a championship. And, you know, the contract isn't absorbent. Like, it was just, I understood why the Giants did it. It's just, and it's not like they traded him to the Eagles. He could have signed anywhere. He signed with the Eagles. They were willing to do it. The Giants didn't give him to the Eagles. I know that's the thought process because they allowed him to be a free agent, but they didn't give him to the Eagles. They chose not to sign him. And we all knew he was going to be good there. We all knew. We all knew how great he was. He was great with the Giants. They were not in a position to make him that great. So, I mean, and if he was here last year, he wouldn't have been that great. And they wouldn't have won that many more games. The biggest mistake with Saquon Barkley is they didn't trade him. One, the biggest mistake is drafting him at all, number two overall, which was a mistake. And then not trading him before his free agency was a mistake. Those are the two mistakes with Saquon Barkley. They could have traded him, got something, and sent him far away and hoped he signed a contract there. They could have sent him to Houston who wanted him. They could have sent him somewhere where it wouldn't have been right in their face. Instead, they let it play out because they were afraid the team would fall apart, which is laughable. And then he signed with the Eagles. They should have traded him somewhere in the AFC where they were comfortable sending him. That's what they should have done and got something in return. That's the biggest issue with Saquon Barkley. That and drafting him in the first place. They should have never drafted him. It was a mistake to draft him. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. Running backs are not foundational pieces. When you have a franchise that doesn't have a good roster, when you're at the bottom building back up, you don't start with the running back. I don't care how good he is, you don't. The running back, as is shown in Philadelphia, is the cherry on top. They were a winning team. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Like, they had a great roster. You know, Howie's one of the great GMs in the sport. He put together an unbelievable team, and then you add the cherry on top running back. There you go. You don't draft a running back second overall when you don't have a roster. It was a mistake. Thanks for reminding me how great it is to be a Giants fan. It's in my face. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Fleegs. Let's go Yankees. Let's go Mets. As we get ready for this pennant push, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2 a.m. for a Wednesday morning. We'll talk more football. We'll start getting ready for week number 3 already. It comes quick. Last night ended week 1. We'll get ready for week 2. We'll get ready for week 3 already. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 a.m. Stick here for the warm-up show. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.